my friends, welcome to the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula. America's myths have created a cultural crisis, according to our guest. The crisis affects the entire world because American popular culture is everywhere. Our guest is Richard Slotkin. He's a widely respected American historian, scholar, and novelist. Professor Slotkin has found that America's key myths condone individual violence and elevate able-bodied European-American men above everybody else. We've begun to move beyond the old myths, he says, but we have not yet created new stories to replace them, hence the cultural crisis.
I think we are in some danger. I do see, though, a greater disposition to accommodate, to adjust, to admit new peoples, not only into the mythic stories, but to give them a hand in the making of those stories. My own situation as the son of Jewish immigrants, writing the American story, I'm allowed to do that. And people welcome my doing that and don't question my credentials. I think that's a very positive, I take it as a very positive sign.
Richard Slotkin is a scholar and novelist. He is the Olin Professor at Wesleyan University, where he was formerly Director of American Studies. Both Dr. Slotkin's academic and literary works have been shaped by his finding that race, violence, and the frontier have had a profound impact on American myth and culture. Twice, Dr. Slotkin has been nominated for National Book Awards, and he is a winner of the Beveridge Prize for his scholarly work. Professor Slotkin also writes novels. He goes back to critical turning points in American history. He looks for possibilities that we may have missed. That's what he did in his book, Abe, a novel about the ever-controversial Abraham Lincoln. Why focus on Lincoln? Because Dr. Slotkin believes America is stuck. We have not yet resolved the issues raised by our Civil War, and the Vietnam War extinguished the last of the heroic myths which once bound us together. Intrigued by Professor Slotkin's insights into the American psyche, Bill Russell and I welcomed the chance to learn more. Richard Slotkin, a thoughtful man, once said that myths speak to the social and ideological needs of the time. Now, that thoughtful person was you. The social and ideological needs of the time, it sounded really very important to me, having just read that you have read, having just read the book that you wrote about Abraham Lincoln. What are, set the stage for us, what are the social and ideological needs of our time that you're bringing Abraham Lincoln to us?
Well, let me say first, the part about myth, what I call myth is really the stories that constitute the memory bank that a society has, its way of connecting to its past, but formulated as a set of stories that have pretty specific kinds of meanings. So when we think about Lincoln, and we seem to think about Lincoln all the time, we're reminding ourselves of a crucial episode in our history. And why are we doing this? If you look at the 40,000 books that have been written about Lincoln.
40,000?
Something like 40,000 books, yeah. H.L. Mencken once said that nobody ever lost money writing a book about Abraham Lincoln.
So but, how are you doing?
I don't know. The results are not in yet, but H.L. was a pretty smart duck. But he's a character we seem to keep wanting to think about him. And in the last 5 years, which was the period I was really working intensely on the novel, and maybe let me push it back to 8 years, Lincoln has been really a very controversial figure among American historians and in our political life. For some people, he symbolizes the great liberator, the man who led the nation through the war that destroyed slavery, the man who might have, if he had lived, made a difference in the future of race relations in the absence of slavery. But he's also cited by many historians as a racist, as a man who would have perpetuated white supremacy, though under with a kinder face. There are people who see Lincoln as, I guess everyone sees Lincoln, as the president who turned the United States from a collection of states into a modern, centralized national government. well, is that good news or bad news? You don't have to go back to the sons and daughters of the Confederacy to find people who think that a strong centralized government is a danger. On the left, you have people who see the state as the instrument of the bourgeoisie and corporate America. On the right, you have people who are who see the state as intervening in their religious and community life and sending black helicopters to take their guns away, and all sorts of variations in the middle, who see Lincoln as the man who begins the American liberal tradition of blending some government action with a pretty wide license for private action. And for all of these groups, he signifies very intensely. You can get yourself into a pretty good brawl over Abraham Lincoln in any history department in any college in the country.
Or many churches.
Or
well. Many civic organizations.
Yeah.
Or many dinner tables. It's really quite remarkable.
Yes.
That somebody who's been dead almost 150 yeah. years can still get people's ire up.
You know, in my day job, I'm a historian. And so I study the past and try to show what elements of the past have really dominated in producing the where we're living in the year 2000. As a novelist, I do the same thing in a slightly different way. I try to deal with stories that have a mythic resonance. That is, they're stories that are well known, that remind people of what they already know or think they know about the meaning of American history. And by retelling the story in a new way, from a modern perspective, to let them make a fresh connection with the past, not a cliched connection.
This is the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell is sitting quietly by, but we know that won't continue. We'll all be back in a moment with Richard Slotkin, who is our guest. He also has written a book that is a current book about Abraham Lincoln and a great deal more. Please be with us when we return.